It's the people's response to those events which builds the character. It's not the events in themselves.
Elizabeth Elliot says that God knows the end from the beginning. He loves us, He is wise, He's powerful, and He calls us to put our faith in Him, to set our feet on that rock which will never move. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Secure in the Everlasting Arms and God's Guidance, A Slow and Certain Light. As you put your faith in the solid rock, study the unchanging word with us today. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you this time about loneliness and specifically about my portion is assigned. You remember in the old fairy stories of Hansel and Gretel or Snow White that the characters in those stories had to go through horrible things, and then there was a happy ending. You remember Hansel and Gretel being so badly treated by the wicked stepmother and sent out into the forest, and then they meet this wicked witch, and in the end, they get to pop the witch into the oven, and that's the end of her. Snow White was also badly treated by a stepmother and sent out into the forest, and she meets all those wonderful little animals and dwarfs. Then, of course, there are the great myths and legends of the world, such as Ulysses and the terrible things that he had to go through in order to get back home again. And it seems to be the story of everyone's life that we go through bad things. There are always dark days as well as light days. There are tough things to be endured. There are hard mountains to be climbed and rivers to be crossed and tunnels to be dug. The first real book, other than school books and story books, that I ever read was when I was 12 years old, and it was an adventure story about either the Antarctic or the Arctic, I've forgotten which, a terrible saga of suffering, cold, starvation, dogs and people dying. It was a hair-raising saga of men trying to make it across the ice, their ship getting stuck in the ice, the dogs dying, men dying. It was one of those horrible stories. But, of course, there was a happy ending. They made it. And in any adventure story, the question is, how was it in the middle? Your life story, your own life story, what are you in the middle of now? Maybe you're in the middle of something that seems anything but likely to end happily. Maybe you're lonely, abandoned, lost your job, worried about your health, wondering whether to sell the house, whether to buy that house, where to find a place to rent, even just a room. I'd like to remind you today that our portion is assigned. Now, where did I get that idea? Straight from Psalm 16, verse 4. Lord, You have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. You have made known to me the path of life. That's an encouragement to me. That's one of those beacons that I steer by. The Lord has assigned me my portion and my cup and has made my lot secure. It hasn't always looked secure. It hasn't always looked as though it came from the hand of God. But looking back over a good many years now, 6 decades, I can say that it's true. Jesus led me all the way. He has made known to me the path of life. I have no idea how much of the path is left to me, but I have no question that He will make known to me the rest of it as He has done the past. One of the things which has been the greatest encouragement in my life is reading biographies. Let me strongly urge you to read biographies. Biographies of anybody, because they're all instructive. Our house was full of great Christian biographies when I was growing up. I don't think we had too many of non-Christians. but I've read a good many biographies of people who did not profess to be Christians, and I find that basically the events seem to fall into similar patterns. Things start out good or bad, they move through good or bad middles, and they end up with good or bad endings. It's the people's response to those events which builds the character. It's not the events in themselves. And the great thing about a biography is that you're not in the middle of it yourself. You can read the whole book. You can find out when the person was born, what kind of parents he had, how he grew up, what happened in his life, and how he died, so that you can get the whole picture, at least as complete as it is possible for us human beings to see one life in one piece. And it's very heartening. Among the biographies which I treasure are Anne Morrow Lindbergh's diaries, which are really autobiographies. Very full and complete accounts of her life from, I think, the age of 16, when she started the first volume, which is called Bring Me a Unicorn, and carries us through five volumes, the last being War Within and Without. And she says in her introduction to that last volume, "The complete story takes us through turbulent years. Fame, romance, and popularity in Bring Me a Unicorn, adventure, crime, sorrow, and the sympathy of the world in Hour of Gold, Hour of Lead." Some of you may remember that the Lindbergh's little son was kidnapped, and that is what she's referring to in the crime. He was kidnapped and killed. And she tells about that in intimate detail in her book Hour of Gold, Hour of Lead. Then the third volume, A Beginning Again of a Flying Career in a Wider World, in Locked Rooms and Open Doors. That's the title, Locked Rooms and Open Doors. And in The Flower and the Nettle, Our Self-Imposed Exile in Europe and Coming to Grips with World Problems. And in this final volume, she says, our combined and differing attitudes to these crises, and in the process facing and enduring criticism, rejection, and calumny. Charles Lindbergh was a great hero, the first man to fly solo across the Atlantic. But he suffered tremendous criticism, rejection, and calumny during World War II. He was the victim of accusations of being an isolationist, of being anti-American, anti-British, and pro-Nazi. And they had some real arguments, he and his wife Anne, about whether he should speak out about the mistakes that he felt America was making in getting into World War II. And she writes in her diary, September 15th, 1941, which was several months before America joined World War II, I begin to feel bitter. Not that I do not myself feel that the speech was disastrous, but because I begin to see Charles hated much as the Jews are hated, simply because he is Lindbergh. Hugh Johnson can say the same thing in the World Telegram, but he is not crucified because he is not Lindbergh. I think how true was my vision of him as eternally that man in a plane alone, out in the middle of the ocean, headed for an impossible destination, with all the world calling him a flying fool, and only a few individuals, not understanding him, not able to follow him, left behind, looking after him with a kind of blind faith, holding him in their hearts. I sense that this is the beginning of a fight and consequent loneliness and isolation that we have not known before. I find, though I am sobered by it, that it is not so difficult to face. In a sense, it is what I faced or thought I faced when I married. How strange it is that one makes the choice implied in marriage not once, but over and over again. Are you or aren't you? Yes or no? I find it is again quite clearly yes. This is my life. I must remember this when it gets hard for me, for I am really much more attached to the worldly things than he is. Mind more giving up friends, popularity, etc. Mind much more criticism and coldness and loneliness. And she ends this diary entry with these few personal words. We sleep again in the little tent out on the hill with the wind blowing. Charles says he sleeps deeply and well, but I lie awake and think. Our portion is assigned. There are the tough times. If we should experience fame, such as Lindbergh experienced, which is not likely for very many of us, we will also experience the criticism, the isolation, the rejection, the calumny. But let me read you a little poem that may explain what's going on. It's called The Weaver. My life is but a weaving between my Lord and me. I cannot choose the colors. He worketh steadily. Oft times he weaveth sorrow, and I in foolish pride forget he sees the upper, and I the underside. Not till the loom is silent, and the shuttles cease to fly, shall God unroll the canvas and explain the reason why.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. This is Joy Rayleigh. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network. Thank you.